Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Yeah. Cabby. Taj. Woo!
Connecticut.
Welcome, everybody. Sorry for the delayed opening. This is the NFL Free-for-All Show. I'm your host, Controversy himself, James Greenwood, and with me, as always, is our former correspondent, Rodri Jones. Rod, how you doing today, bud?
Doing good, my friend. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we are all perfect and set to go. The 2021 NFL draft is in the books. We'll be going through, talk about some teams who did good, some teams who did not so good, and even going into our 2021 NFL draft time capsule. All in all, let's start with the obvious. The main story coming into this NFL draft was the quarterback position. Five were chosen in the first round, and I believe three or four were chosen after the first round. But pretty much every starting caliber quarterback was taken in round one. So I guess we'll start with you, Rodri, what is it that is going to be your biggest takeaway from the 2021 NFL draft?
I think what it's always been, to be honest, James, is it was what Jacksonville were going to do at number one. Where was Trevor Lawrence going to go? Where was Justin Fields going to go? What I've noticed, the good thing about Urban Meyer is recruiting expertise. The draft the Jacksonville Jaguars had, I thought, was phenomenal. And pretty much because of his knowledge of college players, his knowledge of bringing high school players into the college system, I think it's helped them so much. The same as Mike Mayock in Oakland, what they are doing. And this is why guys like Daniel Jeremiah, I think, those guys, these NFL analysts are starting to get their names mentioned as possible GMs, which is crazy, which would have been crazy years ago. But now it's like, how well studied are these kids coming into college? And I think we've seen it. And I think Urban Meyer, and you've got to give props to Trent Baalke as well, what they did all through the draft. They picked, so many great players after Trevor Lawrence. But yeah, it was a number three pick for me, James. I thought that was the tone setter for the whole draft. And then Chicago Bears getting Justin Fields was great for them. I mean, it was a pick, I think, that could possibly save Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's jobs, to be honest, though, because he will be playing early.
Yeah, and that's kind of like was one of the things that was kind of him and Todd about when we were going through the draft process, is whether or not Justin Fields was ready to start day one, or if he, like Trey Lance, should sit behind a starting quarterback, but Fields does not have that option. Trey Lance kind of does, at least for now. He has the option to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo, but my biggest kind of thoughts when it comes to first-round quarterbacks in the NFL draft is that if you are sitting behind a Pro Bowler, then that's fine. You can sit behind a Pro Bowler as long as you want. Tom Brady sat behind Drew Bledsoe, who was a Pro Bowler. People forget that, but he was. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. Philip Rivers sat behind Drew Brees. So there are plenty of examples where a top tier quarterback sits behind somebody who is one of the elite quarterbacks in the game at the time, and then comes back and surpasses that quarterback. What we don't see all that often is quarterbacks who sit behind journeyman quarterbacks and all of a sudden become, you know, great to above average. I mean, half a season is one thing. A season or plus season or more is a completely different thing. So that's kind of where the big questions start coming when it comes into training camp. How many of these guys are starting day one? But I want to move forward from that and move on to Yeah, go ahead.
Before you do. Yeah, just before we move forward. Look at the situation in Green Bay. Look at the trouble drafting Love last year has caused that Aaron Rodgers now. They're saying that they wanted to move up for Ayuk. They're saying that they wanted to move up for Jefferson. Now, this should have been said last year. For me, bro, it's like you put a lot of capital into these first round draft picks. I know we saw with Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen got traded, and I have said that. But really, you make a statement when you bring a quarterback in the first round. Andy Dalton, I bet Andy Dalton was at home watching Justin Fields get drafted. You know, he's got to beat Nick Foles out as it is. I mean, he couldn't be happy about it. And like, you know, but Matt Nagy's probably saying to him, you know, you're a starter right now. But how much stock can you actually put into a coach saying that, you know, when they're bringing in a first round quarterback in front of you, or even a second rounder, you know? It's just we know the business, you know. It's a business at the end of the day, and I think it's a bit of a disconnect because you got coach to quarterback, and I think you got coach to GM. There's such a big disconnect between coach and GM sometimes. And it just gets that's where the trouble starts for me. You look at Gunter Kunst in Green Bay, and then you've got the relationship then with LaFleur, and then you've got the relationship between LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, who Aaron Rodgers is probably a better offensive mind than, you know, you can argue. And it's like you can see how trouble stems from these decisions as well. It's a point I was going to make as well.
Yeah. And I agree with you at this point. There's no reason why Justin Fields should not be starting day one for the Chicago Bears. Like, quite frankly, Nick Foles isn't worth it. And, yeah, they told Andy Dalton he was going to be the starter, but he's not. Like, he had his chance at starting quarterback in Cincinnati, and he did not perform. He would make it to the playoffs and they would just fall flat in their face in the playoffs. That's not what Matt Nagy and general manager Pace want out of their quarterback position. It would behoove them to start Justin Fields and just roll the dice. If he sucks, he sucks, and you lose your job anyway. But if you lose in the first round of the playoffs, like is what you're going to do with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, assuming you make it there, which is a big assumption based on how strong the NFC is, you're going to find yourself out of the job anyway. So you might as well roll the dice for an extension. That's kind of my thoughts on it. But
yeah, I I'm gonna hold out for the red rifle a little bit. That's all I can say. I ain't done with him yet. I know he had a season in Dallas last year, but it's to me, it's like I start him and then see what happens. But you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see what happens. But let's start with the good. Rodri, who do you think had the best draft out of the 2021 NFL draft?
Good question. I mean, so many good teams. So many teams done really well. I really like what Miami done. I really like what Carolina did. And those two, for me, were probably up there with the best. But again, I'm going to go back to what we've seen, so what we know, and say Jacksonville, just because of the depth. I mean, you know, you bring an Andre Sisko in, who I had as my first safety. He would have been a round one if he wasn't injured. You know, they get a Walker Little, who would have been a first rounder, as I mentioned, if he didn't get injured in Stanford. So it's like, you know, these kids who have had injuries, they can get over them. They're young, you know what I mean? So they got a lot of quality later on. I was going to go to Carolina, though, and say J.C. Horn turned out to be the best corner in the draft. Matt Rhule trying to make a statement. You got Terrence Marshall round two, Brady Christensen round three. Tommy Tremble was a tight end from Notre Dame, so he's a tough kid, you know, with the 83rd pick. And then the quality started to come in with Chuba Hubbard, who could potentially, you know, imagine Chuba Hubbard and Christian McCaffrey in a backfield. That's just scary. And then they bring in a good guard, Deontay Brown, Shai Smith, Keith Taylor, another good corner. And then they draft a long snapper, an Alabama's long snapper, Thomas Fletcher. And if you listen to the call, go and find it with Matt Rhule and Thomas Fletcher. Fletcher thought he was going to be an undrafted rookie. And so Matt Rhule calls him and he's saying, you ready to come down? Do you want to come down here? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah, you are. We just drafted you. It was so funny. Like he wasn't expected to get drafted as a long snapper, but he's got at least a year now that he has been drafted, because they wouldn't put that capital into him if they didn't plan on drafting him. And Phil Hoskins out of Kentucky. So to me, that was a great draft. I thought the Lions changed. I just, last one, I'll let you go because I don't want to take up all the teams. And I won't list them if you're gonna take the Lions, right? But I say the Lions, and I thought they changed the culture. They drafted the same culture. Dallas done the same, and I love what they both done.
So my biggest winner, in my opinion, was the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland started out with Greg Newsom, who I think is a perfectly acceptable corner at 26. I think, by and large, is considered the fourth best corner. If you're talking about guarding ones and twos, Elijah Molden probably considered like the number four corner. If we're considering only, or if we're including the slot position, which
yeah.
I think that slot corners are a lot easier to find in the NFL draft than guys who can play against number ones to number twos. Then they turn around in round two and get a guy that I was expecting to go in the top 20 picks, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Now, I don't particularly like him in a 3-4 scheme, but he has that ability to cover that could be beneficial as the smaller linebacker style in that position. I mean, in the linebacker position on that defense, even in a 3-4. Anthony Schwartz goes next in round three. Not my top wide receiver in round three, but I think he will be completely fine. James Hudson, I think, was a reasonably good value in round four as well. The offensive tackle out of Cincinnati, I think that people kind of slept on him a little bit more than I think people were expecting, kind of saw him as a later round prospect, but I personally didn't, although I personally like Stone Forsythe in the sixth round for, I forget who drafted him, but Stone Forsythe in the sixth round was probably my pick of the draft. He's probably a starting right tackle at round six.
Yeah.
Is pretty good in my opinion. There are some other guys that they drafted, but the other big name that I want to put out there is Demetric Felton from UCLA, who was their sixth round pick. And I think he's got this kind of hybrid running back wide receiver kind of situation going on with him, where if they decide to move on from Kareem Hunt, he's going to fill that role very well. And sit behind, obviously, Nick Chubb, who would be the workhorse regardless of the situation involving Kareem Hunt. The other team that I want to put into this process is the Denver Broncos. And the reason why I want to put the Denver Broncos in here is not necessarily based off of who they drafted like during the draft, but who they traded for during the draft. Everybody knows I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater guy. I am. I always will be. I think that he is a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. I think he's a top 15 starting quarterback in the NFL. So they traded a sixth round pick for a guy who's probably a top 15 starter. If not a top 15 starter, definitely a top 20 starter in the NFL. And he's shown it time and again, in spite of the fact that he's been on several different teams. He showed it in Minnesota until the injury. He showed it in New Orleans when he came in for Drew Brees. He showed it in Carolina. Like, I think that people forget exactly how well Teddy Bridgewater played in Carolina. Yes, he wasn't over the top. He wasn't like a god-tier quarterback, but he was not anything worse than below average, and that's saying a lot considering the injuries that the Carolina Panthers had during the season, especially to their biggest weapon, Christian McCaffrey, who was gone for the whole season, and they still were in position to make the playoffs late. Add that to Patrick Surtain. Pick one, round nine, or pick nine, round one. Put that on top of Jamar Johnson, round five. Baron Browning from Ohio State in round three. Quinn Merrin as a really talented small school center from Wisconsin Whitewater in round three. I think all those guys start. And then Javonta Williams also has an opportunity to start, especially on the Denver Broncos team that has been letting letting running backs go left and right and has not really had a solid starter at that position for years.
Yeah, Javonta Williams, my favorite runner in the back. Remember we on the pre-draft show, but like you said, I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. I think LA might have his guy there as well. And what a story that would be. Caden Stearns, another one, James. I know you was high on Koromoa, which I will say that the reason he dropped in the draft was that during his medical, he had a bit of a heart defect. He was passed by the doctors, but I wondered why he dropped so far. I was expecting him to go at least late first round. I was very high on him. He's very much like Devin White, and I think that's the reason why he went. Draft this one out. Anthony Schwartz is a speedster the Browns drafted. Did you say the Tennessee Titans? Because you was mentioning some Tennessee Titans picks when you said the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I really? I did really like the Titans draft, to be completely fair. Like Caleb Farley, Dylan Redas, however you want to pronounce it, from North Carolina or North Dakota State. That might be the guy who you think I was talking about when I was talking about the gentleman from Whitewater, Wisconsin Whitewater, who
the Broncos.
The Broncos chose in round three. Elijah Molden, who I did mention, they picked him in round three as well at the quarterback position, and Monty Rice from Georgia. But the big one, one of my favorite guys in the draft is Rashad Weaver. If they can teach him to play with better pad level, all of a sudden this fourth round pick is probably a borderline Pro Bowler and definitely a solid starter in round four is in late round four, pick 30 round four is a really good set of guys for themselves as well. And this is kind of like a really strong draft. So I think that the more picks you have, the better off you are in many instances. But I think value wise, I think that the Cleveland Browns did the best. And while I think the Giants might have gotten one of the better single player values and Azeez Ojulari in round two after, but I'm not the biggest Kadarius Toney fan. So it kind of like balances each other out. It would have been much better if they took Ojulari in round one and Kadarius Toney in round two. Just my opinion.
Yes.
But we should.
Let's keep talking. Let's keep talking draft. I think, sure. What do you think about the Colts? Like two defensive ends taken. First 54 picks, with Anthony Costanzo going, getting retired, I thought they would have gone offensive line. I thought they would have tried to pick somebody up. They didn't until pick 248. They picked up Will Freeze, who they must have had an eye on. But Quitty Pay went at 21. Not so surprising. Glad he was a first-round pick. And then Ode Engbo at 54. And then they took tight end Caleb Grandson. Sean Davis, safety. Sam Ehlinger. When they're 218, and then Mike Strachan and Will Freeze. But I thought, proof should have put in anyway, right? I mean, very, very hard for us to say, look, that's a bad draft. That's a good draft. Do you know what I mean?
The big thing that the Indianapolis Colts did not draft that I thought was crucial for them was a left tackle. The left tackle position, Anthony Costanzo retired, leaving a big hole at left tackle. So unless they believe they've got somebody in house that can handle that left tackle position, all of a sudden they've left a massive hole for Carson Wentz to worry about on his blind side. Yes, they fixed their defensive line issues because they lost a lot at the defensive end position. Getting Quitty Pay, I thought, was value at 21. Deo Odie from Vanderbilt, I thought was also decent value in round two. But I think that every other pick was just there. And I actually did not even remember Sam Ehlinger, the quarterback from Texas, being an actual pick. So that's a guy that I have to do a little more digging on, but I think he's a perennial backup for the Colts long term.
Yeah, 218. You went at 218. I mean, Jacob Eason's there and Carson Wentz now, so he's going to have his work cut out to make a wash, I think, as well, bro. But let's look at, just to finish up with Jacksonville, I know they took Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne in the first round. Tyson Campbell, Walker Little to Andre Sisco. And then they went Jay Fufele, Jordan Smith, Luke Farrell, and Jalen Camp with the last few picks. I mean, that's just a healthy, good draft for me. But it's pure Urban Meyer just getting it done. And, Jacksonville fans got to be excited. I mean, it's a new start for them. They got Trevor Lawrence. The mental aptitude he's got is outstanding. He's going to change the attitude around there. James Robinson and Travis Etienne. That's just incredible. Two good running backs. If you get two failure in round three or from the USC, that division is going to be a good one.
So, I didn't really like the Travis Etienne pick for Jacksonville. They didn't really have, like, they had James Robinson, who proved last year that he could be a workhorse running back. They had needs at corner, which there were several available at pick 25, including Greg Newsome, who went to the Cleveland Browns maybe a pick or two later. So they could have fixed that position pretty well with that 25 pick, and as opposed to what I consider a luxury pick in Travis Etienne. They drafted Walker Little in round two, and yes, they did draft Tyson Campbell in round two as well at round two pick one, but I think they would have been much better served with Newsome over Campbell or Etienne, and you could definitely worry about a different pick at the top of round two, including some defensive line help like Christian Barmore, who fell out of the first round, and that could have been a round two pick one pick if you took Newsome at that point in round one. And then Andre Sisco is a athletic freak out of Syracuse that if he gets a little better at playing the position, could be an all-star year in and year out. And safety seems to be a position that I'm noticing gets a lot that just falls out of every draft. There are guys who are potential Pro Bowlers at the safety position that get drafted in round two, round three. I think Andre Sisco is one of those guys. And
yeah.
I'll wrap up the Jaguars draft talking about Jay Tufalele, the defensive tackle from USC. And the USC as a program has kind of fallen off in the past few years, but the one thing that they have been able to keep around is very, very good defensive line talent, and I think that we will see that with the two guys from USC drafted in this year's draft as well.
Yeah, just to go back to the safety draft, we saw him with middle linebackers a few years ago. I think we've seen him with running backs. No, it's like the trend of the league, right? The way the league is. And then you sort of have, like, position values. And I remember when Ray Moluga and James Laurinaitis was coming out, and they dropped it around two. As I told this story a long time ago with the chefs. It's like James Laurinaitis' father, Animal, was on the front of the network, and he's saying, like, that it's not how bad they are as players, like these safeties. They are could be perennial all-pro players because they get drafted late. It's just because of the way the game is, you know. You ask a safety to play slot now, then his value is ridiculously much more than it would be if he's just playing two downs. So it's like, you know, if you're only going to be on the field for so many snaps, then your position value is going to drop down significantly. And that's what we've seen for the safety position, you know, like we did for the middle linebacker position. But now it seems like the middle linebacker position has gone back up. If you're in a 4-3 defense, corner, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Devin White and Devin Bush getting drafted in the top 10 a few years ago. That's incredible. You know, so it shows that position has become so much more valuable. And also what Devin White just did in the playoffs for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's something that I think is really interesting in how so there's certain positions that always have value. Quarterback always has value. Defensive end always has value, and left tackle will always have value. Now, this was a particularly weak defensive end class, but there were still, like, I think this was a weaker defensive end class than it was a safety class, even though safety was not particularly strong, I think that safeties were stronger as a class than the defensive ends and or edge rushers, if you want to place them in that category. We still didn't see a safety chosen in round one. But I want to move to kind of like we as draft nerds, we all like to put our stamp on particular things that we call that were controversial at the time. So I want to throw out a few questions. We'll answer them together. And anybody who wants to answer these questions with us, the call-in number is 929-477-2759. First question I'm going to ask you. In the next 3 years, because we need to qualify this, right? We need to come back in 3 years and see exactly where we were correct and where we were incorrect. Because otherwise, it's just not that much fun. In the first 3 years of their career, who has the better career? Mac Jones, who got drafted by the Patriots. Trey Lance, who got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. Or Justin Fields, who got drafted by the Chicago Bears. Now, I'll let you go first.
I don't know. Ask me in 3 years. No, I'll be honest. Look, it's Josh McDaniels. It's Kyle Shanahan. Right. And then you got Matt Nagy. So the three of them are in good positions with coaches. But then, you know, it's a supporting cast. I just trust John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan more. I just think New England are under so much pressure. I think defensively they'll get help. Mac Jones is going to get a lot of help. I love the kid. I think he's got a fantastic attitude. I think the Patriot way is going to suit him because he's a workhorse. And you know, Alabama, Nick Saban, and Bill Belichick is a good relationship there. But look, it's up to them, right? I mean, how can anybody really say that? I mean, but it's like you said, as drafters, and you've got to, you know, you tell me to pick one, and I will. But I'm going to go with Trey Lance. I think he's just wiping off the surface on his talent. He's thrown less than 400 balls in college. He's good for the system out there. I think he's going to love the Bay Area. So I'm going to go with Trey Lance just because of the supporting cast he's got right now. He's got Kittle. He's got two class wide receivers. And that running game is always going to be there for him. That's almost a guarantee in our system. So he's going to be, I mean, out of the three of them, I'll say Trey Lance right now.
Yeah, I would also pick Trey Lance for the record. I'm picking Trey Lance for this one. I think that he's got a better coaching situation with Kyle Shanahan and also a more stable coaching situation. Now, I don't think there's a more stable coaching situation than with Mac Jones has in New England. I don't think either one of those guys, Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick, are going anywhere, period, or at least not for a long time until no. Mac Jones is like particularly a bust. But when we talk about Justin Fields, it seems like there was a reason why fans of the Chicago Bears did not want Ryan Pace to draft another quarterback, or not draft another quarterback, to draft a quarterback, period. Because it seems to be a constant cycle with the Chicago Bears. They draft a quarterback or they acquire a quarterback. After 1 year, they suck and they don't stick with the head coach. They switch head coaches, and now all of a sudden, this quarterback who spent a full year learning the system is now spun around and placed into a completely different system with different nomenclature and probably different pieces around it. So a complete culture change in year two of this quarterback's developmental cycle, and then they turn out to be a bust, and everybody wonders why. This could be the the defining portion of Justin Fields' career, is that if he does not come out the gate and play well, all of a sudden he's a bust pick and their head coach lost their job. And now he is now 3 years behind every other quarterback in the class. That's why I'm picking Trey Lance, because of the stability at the position. And the surrounding talent. Mac Jones does not have a wide receiver. He doesn't have one. And the New England Patriots have not had a starting wide receiver in years. You can, Julian Edelman, you know, at 35 years old now, but he retired. So who is the starting wide receiver for the New England Patriots? Nobody knows, nobody cares, because they're not good. Whereas Trey Lance has a couple of starting caliber wide receivers and a starting caliber running back in Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. And Debo out on the wing, we can look at it like that and break it down like that. But the thing is with me as well, probably add Trevor Lawrence into this. Look at the competition level as well. He's got Josh Rosen and Jimmy G just in front of him there, and he's got to work those out. I will say I do like Nelson Agholor. I love the fact he's coming from Oakland. I think he might be the most productive wide receiver they'll have next year, just because of what he's already done in Philly, and I think last year he was outstanding in Oakland. What different Nelson Agholor last year? They bring in Hunter Henry, which helps. Hunter Henry, now they got Keane. And Jonnu Smith as well from Tennessee, which will help them. But like, you know, Kendrick Bourne, who was in San Francisco, is there. Kenil Harry, but you know, Josh Myers, like you said, there's not really somebody who's done it at a high level with size. You know, Nelson Agholor is 6 foot two, just under 200 pounds, so he's not really the big guy. Kenil Harry, he's a big guy they got to put on the outside. He's almost become a bust because he's in his third year. He's just been really quiet. So I wouldn't say the talent isn't there so much, but I'd agree that they just haven't been. It's been Edelman, right? And that's all it has been. It's Edelman and Gronk, But the Cam Newton situation as well is going to be interesting. How Cam handles it. I know Jared Stidham is there. Those two Auburn quarterbacks are now an Alabama quarterback as well. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic.
I'm going to throw a bonus question out since you mentioned the Cam Newton situation. Of these three quarterbacks, which of them start year one? Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields.
Well, that's a more interesting question to me. I mean, it's like, That's completely up to them. I mean, they're not gonna throw him in the deep end. I mean, if you're not ready to go week one, you can't put a rookie in our situation. We were talking about it last week with what happened with David Carr. That, you know, the pressure he was put under. He was hit so many times. You know, they'd say when his children would run towards him, he would start taking a knee because he was in that much fear. You know, that's how much it affected his mindset. You know, and it can. You know, it's the NFL. It's the hardest job in sports. Quarterback in the NFL for me is by far the hardest job in sports. It's the top 5 inches. And Jacksonville Jaguar fans are going to be disappointed early with Trevor Lawrence. It's just going to happen. He's not going to come in and throw 50 touchdowns in his first year. I mean, Mahomes, he's going to shine. No, don't get me wrong. They're going to shine. I think they all will. But to come in and be incredible, like it's a big ask. It's a big ask. And it's a completely different world to college. This is where accuracy, to me, is the most important trait of a quarterback, because the windows are so much smaller, just, you know, like we were talking about that day as well, that those windows just become so small that a lot of quarterbacks really, really, really struggle to adjust. But the fact that Trey Lance hasn't thrown that many passes, though, is a worry to me. But I'd say Justin Fields is the only one starting, to be honest, bro. And that's because that if their jobs are on the line with it. I mean, you become week 4 or 5 and Dalton's not winning games, then I think Justin Fields will get a start. I think they'll put him in first.
I think that Justin Fields gets to start week one. If he does not beat out Andy Dalton and Nick Foles for that starting position right out of training camp, then there's something wrong with him. Let's be real. Trey Lance is interesting. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got an almost competent quarterback, like probably back 10 in the NFL in Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's a starting NFL quarterback. So with the lack of with the whole lack of experience that he has at a high level competition quarterback, I can see maybe he doesn't start week one, but maybe he ends up starting week six or seven. But that might completely change if the 49ers are winning, which is entirely possible with Jimmy Garoppolo behind the helm. So Trey Lance is really interesting if you want to put an over-under as to when they start, but they trade all the way up to pick number three to get the kid. So It makes a major difference. Now, if he doesn't start in week one behind or in front of Jimmy G, then what did they move? Would they trade all of that capital for? It's a really interesting question with Trey Lance. And Mac Jones, I honestly, like, if it were me and there was no pressure on me to start the first round draft pick that I just drafted, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start over Cam Newton until Cam Newton leaps. I think that offensively, the New England Patriots are not good at any skill position. I think that the defense will be a lot better, which will give Cam Newton the opportunity to win more games than he did last year. The sheer number of players that left, that opted out for COVID, getting those players back, not even discussing the guys who they got in the draft or in free agency, which they got two really good tight ends in free agency, Hunter Henry being one of them, probably in my estimation the number three or four tight end currently in the league, and Jonnu Smith, who's probably the five or sixth best quarterback in the league, or not quarterback, fifth or sixth best tight end in the league. There's a lot more weapons than there was when Cam Newton played last year on both offense and defense. So there's a possibility that Cam Newton holds the position and doesn't let Mac Jones take it over. Plus, I'm not the biggest Mac Jones fan to begin with. Yes, he's smart. Yes, he knows how to read the field, but he can't hit an outside throw to save his life. So until he can prove he can do that at the next level and not get batted down or picked off, the field's going to be limited for him, and I don't think that Belichick or McDaniels are going to want him to start until he's proven that. The next question I want to throw out, and I'll take this one first, Devonta Smith versus Jalen Waddle. The Miami Dolphins gave us all a big surprise when they took Jalen Waddle over Devonta Smith, and Smith not being selected until the Philadelphia Eagles selected at, I believe, the 12th overall pick, which let's not forget how awesome of a set of moves the Philadelphia Eagles did to get the guy that they wanted and still garner additional draft picks. That is, I think when we talk about draft grades, we talk about the players that were selected, not necessarily the draft capital that was acquired for next season, and that's what the Philadelphia Eagles did. I think that Devonta Smith is the better wide receiver of the two, and he's going to prove that in Philadelphia, even though he probably is going to end up with a lesser talented quarterback and a lesser talented team altogether. But I think Smith will show off to be better than Waddle, who's a 5'9" guy who I wouldn't like. Personally, I don't like the idea of 5'9" guys being wide receiver ones or wide receiver twos. They're much more slot guys in my estimation. So, and really, Smith is that much better of a route runner than Jaylen Waddle to begin with. So for me, I think Devonta Smith is the better of the two wide receivers and is going to prove it in his career. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, he was my favorite player overall coming into this draft. So, you know, there's so many questions about him. He's this, he's that, but I've said it about 50 times. He's wiry, he's strong. You can be under the 66 pound and have that strength, you know. People seem to think that he's going to need to be wrestling guys off the line of scrimmage, you know. I know Mel Blount was great, but he ain't going up. He won't be going head-to-head with Mel Blount. They're never going to put him in that situation, so people need to start forgetting about that. And, you know, the way offenses are now, they move everybody around anyway. So, you know, look what the Chiefs do with Tyreek Hill. I think we're going to see both of these players being put in those situations. But for me, you know, he's going to Philly. He's got Nick Sirianni there. He's in a good city for him. I think the DeSean Jackson comparisons are good. Jalen Reagor from last year as well. Both kind of similar, both smaller guys. I know you just said it's a bit of an issue, but I don't think it's going to be. I think they're both going to be really good players. Both can do everything as well. It's all about the quarterbacks they're going to get. And I like Tua. And I like Jalen Hurts. Isn't it funny how the Alabama thing has gone back to the other now with those? Like, you know, remember in college when Jalen Hurts was backing up Tua and Tua came in that game and threw that winning touchdown against Georgia and Devontae Smith caught it. And now we're like pretty much kind of worked into their pro games as well, which is great. But it just goes to show the talent level. Nick Saban has been bringing through Alabama again, and an amazing draft for him, and just a fantastic team he's built there. Nick Sarkisian as well, doing a great job as offensive coordinator down there. And yeah, really excited for the both of these. Impossible to pick between, like, really, but I just love Devontae Smith as a player. I think some of the stuff he's done, his catch radius is insane. He can catch anything that's thrown at him, and if that ball's anywhere near him, it's getting caught. And he's got strong hands and strong arms. I'm going to win an Heisman Trophy. But we're going up against Pat Surtain every week in practice. And, you know, Joby as well. He's going up against those two. And people saying that you can't get off press coverage. I just don't understand the mindset of people. Honestly, I don't. They're just lazy to be James, to be honest. Anybody that said he can't get off the line of scrimmage against these corners, they don't really watch the game to me, and I don't listen to them. So that's what I got to say about it.
So Devonta Smith is the first non-quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy since Derrick Henry, and the first wide receiver to win, I believe, since Desmond Howard in 1991.
Yep, that's right.
So it's been quite a while since a wide receiver has won the Heisman, and Desmond Howard was not a bad wide receiver to begin with. Also interesting, three young quarterbacks are going to be throwing to their targets that they drafted a year or so later. Joe Burrow is going to be throwing to Ja'Marr Chase. As you mentioned, Jalen Hurts is going to be throwing to Devonta Smith, and Tua Tagovailoa is going to be throwing to Jaylen Waddle. All three of these guys were college teammates, which brings me to my next question. I'm going to let you start with this one. Are the Cincinnati Bengals going to regret choosing Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell?
I regret it. I regret that they didn't take Sewell over Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not going to say that Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a bad career. What I'm saying is, you know, your quarterback went down through injury because he didn't have protection last year, and you get the opportunity to bring in the best protector. You know, let's be honest, I want to say lineman, maybe he ain't the best technical lineman, but if I'm going to ask any of these players in this draft to protect me at my bicep, I'm going to ask him, because the man's an absolute nutcase. You know, he's just passionate. He's a mauler. He got that Polynesian mentality, which I love. I mean, the Detroit Lions, front office, James, it was so funny, right, when I was watching this. There's Dan Campbell's on the phone to him. They're actually shouting at each other, right? That's how fired up they were getting. And they're banging tables. And then they got Mrs. Ford, then they hand the phone to Mrs. Sheila Hemp Ford, and she's just, you know, young, fragile, I'm old, fragile old lady, and you know, there's so much respect there. And Penny Sewell is still as passionate. They all just shout around, yay, you know, let's draft this guy. And it was very animated there. But I just would have took him, you know. You've got to protect, you've got to protect the franchise. You've got to protect your quarterback, Mr. Burrow, but also, you know, get in a Jackson Carmen in round with a 46th pick. And then Dante Smith at 139, I think he was. That's Trey Hill then as well. They drafted, so they did address the offensive line, but I just think the Penny Sewell is going to be that much better than, you know, a Jackson Carmen. But the way I thought they looked at it was that they got Jonah Williams, and they can Jackson Carmen on the right side, which is also very good. But for me, Penny Sewell, just having that, you know, insurance to me, but. You know, they did what they did. I thought they still got a good receiver when they picked Jack and Carmen. But it's just purely because of I like Penny Sewell that much.
So I'm going to go against you on this one. I'm going to say that they are going to not regret drafting a Ja'Marr Chase over Penny Sewell for a couple of reasons. One, Ja'Marr Chase was, I would say, head and shoulders the best wide receiver in the draft class. That's number one. Number two, their problem was not at offensive tackle last season. I know that Joe Burrow got injured. Yes, the tackles did give up their share of sacks, but the big problem was from the interior offensive line, the offensive guard positions. And an article from Pro Football Focus kind of laid out all the major issues with the offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals, and it starts at the offensive guard position. That's why when they had the opportunity in round two, which at the time I thought was absolutely insane, when they had that opportunity in round two to take Tevin Jenkins in round two at I believe pick six, what they traded out for the New England Patriots to jump up and get Christian Barmore, which is something else that we didn't really talk about the draft from the New England Patriots, but that was also a decent, or the Chicago Bears who did end up trading up for Tevin Jenkins and for Justin Fields. They put a lot of time in, or put a lot of capital into immediate starters, and that's what the Chicago Bears did. But regardless, that is a non sequitur. Let's talk about what the Cincinnati Bengals did. They traded back, and instead of taking a guy who would definitely be a starting left tackle and probably a damn good right tackle if they thought that they needed somebody at the right-hand side, and instead traded backwards and then took Jackson Carmen, who's going to be an offensive guard at the next level. So they knew where the weakness on this team was and decided to trade back and grab a player that fit that need more than the best position at any offensive line spot. So I give them kudos for that. And I think that we're going to see a much better offensive line in Joe Burrow's second season than in his first season. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my question would be, I mean, I was saying the same thing about Billy Price about 4 years ago when they drafted him. Now, Trey Hopkins, they brought him in. It's just like, you know, they've always seemed to have had faces there to be good, but no, they haven't. It's like they just haven't played that well. I did like the Adonisi pick last year from out of Kansas. He's good. They got Mike Jordan. They got some talent there now as well with these three coming in as well. So, you know, yeah, they will have a good line. They will have a good offensive line. But if you could get another Anthony Munoz, would you get another Anthony Munoz? I would. I'm just saying I would. And they got Quentin Bain, right, the guard. They got some good players. Riley Reiff is there now also. Isaiah Pierce. I understand these names have played in the NFL, right? And Riley Reiff and Jonah Williams will probably start at both our tackles. But I think Penei Sewell's not just going to be that much better than a lot of them. And if you want to start about the guard. It's just insurance you're going to get with Penei Sewell. I mean, that's just the way I see it. I know what you're saying, and I get it. But I would have taken Sewell just because I like him that much. But, you know, I don't think, like I said, I don't think necessarily Jamar Chase is going to be, you know, yes, he's a great wide receiver. There's no reason why, you know, he's Joe Burrow's teammate in college. They did, you know, put an effort together again. It's not going to hurt. And, should be fun. You know, Frank Pollock is the offensive line coach there, James, and I know he'll sort it out, you know, eventually, but it's just something you can't risk. If you lose your quarterback, you've just lost your season, basically. That's how important the quarterback position is in this league. Now, I think the next most important thing is protecting him. And I just would have done. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean he's Joe Burrow's going to have a bad year. I don't know if he awfully gets to it. He's a decent kid and he'll be all right. But I'm just saying, Penei Sewell. It was Devontae Smith and Penei Sewell for me were two players that I would have taken just because I think that they're going to be outstanding professionals. Just I think they're just going to be really good players. But we'll see how it plays out. It's a tough division. Tough division. So they better make sure they got it right there.
All right. Who do you think, just after the draft, who do you think is your current odds-on favorite to be Offensive Player of the Year?
Whoa. Interesting. Pat Mahomes? Or what do you mean, Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Sorry, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, right there. Devontae Smith. Yeah, Devontae Smith. It's either going to be Javonte Williams in Denver or Devontae Smith in Philly if Jalen Hurts can get him the ball. I mean, those are the two best players I'd say. You know, I mean, you're asking me questions that I haven't prepared for you.
I'll take the next question first. But for me, it's Trevor Lawrence. I know that's boring and chalk, but I think that, first of all, Trevor Lawrence is that good of a quarterback that he's going to just shock the NFL as to – I think that he is the first elite quarterback prospect. I think that every other quarterback has had warts on them. Now, some of them have succeeded and some of them have not. I think that has a lot to do with coaching situation and scheme fit. But I think Trevor Lawrence is a guy who exceeds all those limitations. I think that it doesn't matter that Urban Meyer is his head coach. Doesn't matter how good of a head coach Urban Meyer is, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get a minimum of 7 wins. No matter how bad Urban Meyer is, no matter how bad the rest of the team is, just by virtue of having Trevor Lawrence on this football team, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars get 7 wins, and everything else is great.
I saw another name out there for you, Najee Harris. He's going to get a lot of carries in Pittsburgh. That's for sure.
That is actually a really good, interesting choice. I think that, especially after James Conner left the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Steelers did spend a first-round pick on Najee Harris, he is definitely in the conversation especially with how Big Ben is getting older and less talented over time, that I can easily see that being something that they can give him a lot more touches than your average rookie running back. So Najee Harris is a great choice as well. I'm going to take the first question first, the favorite for defensive player of the year. And it's like Jalen Phillips is a great fit in Miami. I think that he has an extreme opportunity to do very, very well at the defensive, at the edge outside linebacker position in Miami, a environment that he's used to working in. And also the just raw physical talent that Jalen Phillips offers. But I think my favorite is probably, Kwity Paye, the edge rusher from the Indianapolis Colts. This was not a particularly strong defensive end class or defensive end outside linebacker class, but usually when we're talking about defensive rookies of the year, we are thinking linebackers and defensive ends, maybe even a defensive tackle. Cornerbacks generally do not jump onto the scene year one, unless you're like a Jalen Ramsey type. So I kind of knock out guys like J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain just because of the history of the cornerback position and how they do in their first couple of years in the NFL until the fingers snap and the lights turn on and all of a sudden things make sense. So I think I'm going to put Kwity Paye as my guy. He's going to have a bunch of snaps. He's going to have the opportunity, and he's going to have a good secondary to back him up, which is why I think that he is better than Jalen Phillips year one. So Kwity Paye is my number one my number one favorite for defensive rookie of the year. What are your thoughts on defensive rookie of the year?
I like the thought process there you just went through. I'm going to say, for me, for similar reasons, is the number of tackles, middle linebackers to put in, but also the opportunities they get to make big plays these days. And I thought there was really four really good ones that got drafted. Zaven Collins, Jamin Davis, Nick Bolton, but then Micah Parsons. I think he's going to be phenomenal in Dallas. If Dallas is going to have a chance this year to change their just culture around on defense, they were terrible last year. They were really bad. And they drafted like they were really bad as well. And I'm glad they got in first, because just like Detroit, they brought in a game changer. They brought in a difference maker. And then they went cornerback, defensive tackle, defensive end back, the cornerback. And then they brought Jibril Cox in as well with a 115. So now they top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They top 6 picks with defensive players. You know, they really had to address it. But I think Micah Parsons, they haven't picked the option up on Van Der Esch. So it looks like Micah Parsons is going to be the guy there with Jalen Smith. So it's going to, you know, they got those linebackers. Sean Lee is retired. So he's going to be on the field a lot. And if they can get those corners playing well, I know Calvin Joseph was a good player, 44 for them out of Kentucky. And they're like, you know, they need depth and they need help. And I thought they done okay. And for me, Michael Parsons is going to be around the ball a lot. You're going to see this athletic freak of nature, really. He's just really, really good as a heat-seeking missile. And then Zaven Collins for Arizona, you know, their first round pick, he's the 260-pound just wrecking ball, you know, who's going to be around the ball a lot again, but also blitzing. And, you know, they'll have the opportunity to move him around a lot. So it's one of those two for me at the moment. And I think Arizona are going to be good next year defensively. I think Dallas is going to change it up a bit as well. So those two are going to have a lot of tackles and also a lot of plays made. And you know what it's like now, the more stats you put up, the more it looks good when they start doing that Associated Press Rookie of the Year. You know what it's like. So they just, those stats are going to look good at the end of the year. And one of them is going to get it, I think.
All right. So I want to move on to what I like to call the biggest bust, the biggest steals. The biggest bust is out.
Is this where you get the name controversy from?
Yeah.
These questions.
Yeah, this is where I get the name from. We always talk about. I like to touch the controversy, and push
really,
people
because
it's very easy. Mel Kiper does this a lot. I don't think there's been a quarterback drafted in the NFL draft that Mel Kiper hasn't liked. So I like to force people to talk about things that are not good. So we're going to start with the good though. Or we're going to start with the not good. And I'll take this one first, just to give you a minute to look over the first couple rounds and think about it.
I was completely talking like what's your name, controversy? Yeah, yeah, the DNA, you know.
The question is, who is the highest selected player who will not be starting by week one of 2023? So this is 2 years from now, and this is what I would like. If you're a first round pick or a second round pick, and you are not a starting player on your team after 2 years of being in the league, I would consider that a bust pick. Now, if you're a fifth round pick and you're not a starter, then that's par for the course. You're a fifth round pick. But the biggest bust of the draft for me, just quickly cycling through, I could easily see Jalen Waddle not starting for the Miami Dolphins in 2 years. And that's where I think I'm going to place it. I think I'm going to place my guy as the number six overall pick is going to be the biggest bust of the draft. By year three, he might start year one and year two, but by the start of year three, he's not going to be starting for the Miami Dolphins. And they're like, the biggest would be one of these quarterbacks, you know, probably not Trevor Lawrence, but Zach Wilson being in a bad situation and with the New York Jets could definitely be a guy who's that kind of falls out. Trey Lance on inexperienced. Yeah, he's on a good team, but if he doesn't succeed right away, he could be the guy on the bench first. Or Mac Jones easily could be considered a guy that got chosen at 15 and does not actually end up fitting the New England Patriots in their system. Or you could even go with Justin Fields. Fields could be a guy that that pulls a Dwayne Haskins. Both Ohio State quarterbacks, both were highly touted prospects, and both of them fell a lot deeper in the draft than they were expected to. But Rod, tell me what your thoughts are. Who's the guy who's drafted the highest that you think is the least likely to be a starting player in 3 years?
Yeah, if we could just drop into the second round, like Calamondo, Kyle Trask, or something like that, then I could easily see that. I mean, it's difficult. It depends, doesn't it? I think what we're going to see, James, is somebody maybe get injured in practice and then having to miss the whole season and then something happening and then not playing next season. And then it kind of happening like that, you know. I can definitely see that. I can, if that happens to Mac Jones or you know, Fields, or even, you know, even Zach Wilson, even it could happen if Trey Lance happens as well. If it happens like an injury, then I can definitely see it like that. But if it's all situations, isn't it? You know, if something's got to happen for it to happen, I think they're gonna get a shot. You're gonna get a chance, but yeah, maybe a Kadarius Toney in New York. If he pulls a hamstring, you know, these Twitch athletes, a lot of them are very injury prone. I do like him though. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Like Kadarius Toney is a very good selection for the biggest bust category, in my opinion. I'm not the biggest Kadarius Toney fan at all. He's probably going to be like a slot guy to begin with, and he could easily fall out of favor really quickly in New York, especially when you talk about the two other wide receivers that they've already got on roster, which is Darius Slayton and the former Detroit Lion Kenny Golladay. I could easily see Toney kind of like falling out of that wide receiver group and being a slot guy, like strictly a slot guy, for them in 3 years.
He's kind of like, I thought Tutu Atwell would have been a better option. I like them both. I just find Tutu Atwell a lot much more dynamic. But like they're saying they can line Toney up at running back and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, maybe in the right offense, you know. But like I said, that'd be the reason why, James. That would be my reason. Either an injury to set him back, or you know, maybe something happens that he doesn't like. He get, you know, a lot of these kids haven't seen any adversity. You know, a lot of these kids have just come through the college system and they've been superstars and they played at a high level and they've always had things their way. You know, when you start getting, you know, when things start not happening for you, you know, we're gonna see a lot of these players fold their heads, and then it's going to take them a lot to get pulled out of it, and you're going to have some gut check moments. So we're going to see who wants it the most, you know.
Sure. So now we're going to go in the opposite direction with this, and we're going to talk about guys who were selected later, who we think are going to be starters at the next level. Who is the lowest selected player? And we're not talking about punters, kickers, long snappers, etc. You know, those guys who are obviously going to be stars, even though they were selected late. But we're talking about core guys. Who do you think is a guy selected late that you think would be a guy who's going to start within three years?
I got two good ones. I mean, I've liked these players for a long time, and one of them's going to a great situation as well. So I'm going to say they were picked 226 and then 230, if I'm not mistaken, right? So 226, it was Trey Smith out of Tennessee, the guard. I think he's going to Kansas City, and they got Creed Humphrey drafted as well. But I think he's going to have a chance at guard, like if not this year, then next year, the way the turnover is going to be down there. I know they got just brought in Tooney and, you know, and Eric Fisher, I'm sorry, Kyle Long, and like both of those could play, and they got a doctor there. But I could see him moving Kyle Long outside, maybe this kid as well. I just think, you know, it's going to make sense for them long term. If he fits in, then they're gonna be happy with him. And then Jimmy Morrissey, a center at Pittsburgh, going to the Las Vegas Raiders at 230. I think he's going to be a good player too. I think he's, you know, I don't know how we went at 230. There's a few reasons why, but they got some good value over there. I mean, he's a very intelligent and mobile center then in Morrissey. And, you know, despite drafting or signing Nick Martin, you know, I know as well, and showing good confidence, Andre James says, but I like Jimmy Morrissey. But there's going to be a good competition in camp there. It's going to be some good competition. And Leatherwood, who they picked, sorry, go off point a little bit here, but Leatherwood, who the Raiders picked in the first round, was such a perfect Raiders pick, right? You know, he's perfect for our offensive line. But to answer your question, Jimmy Morrissey, and Trey Smith are going to be my two really late, 226 or 230.
All right, so so my favorite guy in this category, there's two, and it depends on if you count undrafted free agents as technical draft picks. So there is Stone Forsythe, the offensive tackle from Florida. The Seattle Seahawks selected him at 208. I think that he's got a few things he needs to get trained out of him a little bit, like his pad level being too high, his first step being a little slow, but he's got all the physical abilities to be a starting right tackle in the NFL. And I think Stone Forsythe could easily be a guy who's starting caliber that the Seattle Seahawks decided to choose. And my undrafted free agent pick, this should be no surprise to anybody who's listened to the show long enough, is Cade Johnson, the wide receiver out of South Dakota State. Killed it in the Super or in the Senior Bowl. Was completely unable to be covered. He's got decent height at 5'11". He's got decent weight. He doesn't get jammed up at the point of attack, and he can pretty much run roughshod over guys who were drafted in the second and third round during those Senior Bowl practices. And the fact that he wasn't drafted at all when guys like Randall Moore were taken all the way up in round two. If I could choose between like a round seven Cade Johnson or a round two Rondell Moore, I think the choice is incredibly easy based off of those valuations. And another name that I don't know if he'll necessarily be a starter, I'm really excited to see him play, is Jalen Darden. Another guy who I was talking about as a sleeper type guy who was selected in round four. So he'll definitely be a return guy to start off with, but I think it is entirely possible that he becomes kind of a slot type guy, and kind of that yak type wide receiver to come in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a complement to Charles Godwin and Mike Evans after Antonio Brown finds himself off the team at some point.
Yeah, well, Forsythe is an interesting one, and I don't know. Anytime I'd watch Florida, like you couldn't miss Stone Forsythe. You know, just such a big dude, and he could definitely shift some people around. We'd be a mistake. I think what we'd regret it, James, if we didn't mention Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon. I know Trey Sermon was drafted at 88, so not really a late round pick, but Elijah Mitchell was 194 for the Niners. So we know they're running game, right? And it's, you know, you're always going to produce backs who's going to put up good numbers. So there's two over there that's going to get in the mix. I think round three went late, and also there was a couple of running backs that went later on. Everybody's got talent. Right? You know, they're all talented. And you know, at running back now, the position value isn't what it was. Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis, who went to the Eagles at 150. I think he's a very, very, very talented player, and he's gonna have an opportunity.
Yeah, and I could see a guy drafted 199, Jalen Twyman, the defensive tackle from Pittsburgh, the first defensive tackle from Pittsburgh to lead the team in sacks since Aaron Donald, which is obviously good company to be in. I think that he has opportunities to be like a starting defensive tackle in the league as well. So like this was a deeper draft than most, I feel. I think there's definitely guys in each round that you could say, hey, this is a guy I think that could be a start in the NFL. Which brings me to a segment I like to call the Dream Draft. The Dream Draft was a concept coined by Scott Wright of NFL Draft Countdown. Long story short, is you have the 16th pick in each round, and you can pick any player after that 16th pick in each round. Meaning you can pick somebody who's picked in, with your first round pick, you can pick anybody picked after pick 16. They can be first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, undrafted free agent. But you can't pick anybody above 16.
I don't know what you're thinking all this up front, but I'm impressed. Yeah.
I have a lot of time on my hands. So.
Because you told me. Not as many go.
But I'll be happy to go first. I'll be happy to go first with round one. This is the first time I think ever that I'm going to be picking 2 second round picks in round one and two. In round one, I'm going to take Azeez Ojulari, the New York Giants draft pick in round two. He was picked at pick 18. There were some shoulder issues, and I think that this was kind of like the big story of this draft, as injury concerns dropped a lot of players into positions that with a full combine and multiple medical checkups and having like doctors poke and prod you all over the place, that a lot of players dropped based off of initial pro day injury concerns. And Azeez Ojulari is definitely one of them. A shoulder injury dropped him probably a full round. I'd be surprised if the New York Giants, I would be very surprised if Azeez Ojulari did not get selected in that first round, back half that first round, if it weren't for that shoulder concern. Yes, he's got some technique issues, but he is an absolute beast. At the defensive end position, the Giants were lucky to have him. Rodri, what are your thoughts as far as your first round dream draft pick?
I want to ask you to explain to me what I got to do once again.
basically, you have the 16th pick in each round. You can pick any player selected after that 16th pick. For each round.
Right. Okay.
So you don't have to necessarily pick a first round pick that was picked in the back half of the draft. You could pick anybody after pick 16.
Right. I'm going to go with Koromoa. I just think that heart issue was the reason he dropped. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know why he was dropping so far, but for whatever reason it was. He got picked up at number 52, so I think that's a good shout. I think he could have gone much higher had they sorted that out for him. And the doctors cleared him as well. It's like, you know, they cleared him. I mean, and still, you know, he that happens. I mean, what a chip on his shoulder as well. He's gonna have coming into this. And then I can go with a few defensive ends there after that. But there's a player, really. Tylan Wallace is a receiver I like. But Rashad Bateman, 27 to the Ravens. I thought they picked up two good players there. I think Rashad Bateman's going to be successful in Baltimore. Picked him with a 27th overall pick. And then Tylan Wallace is going to be as well, even though he was, you know, 1-3-1. Just there's the... They have, seeing so many bad things about his speed, about his, you know, all these little things that he just all he did in college was make plays. I mean, he made some tremendous plays in college, and I just think he's going to do it again in the pros. So, yeah, I'll go with Rashad Bateman, Koromoa, and, yeah, Tylan Wallace, if I'm going to have to pick three.
Sure. My round two guy is the guy you just mentioned, Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. I agree with you. Like, I was, like, hyped out of my mind during round two when Koromoa was at nine. I thought, that's it. This guy is a kneecap biter if I've ever seen one. I mean, not that I'm a Lions fan anymore, but it would have been really exciting to see the Lions draft Koromoa just for that purpose, just because he's one of those real nasty guys who can cover, who can hit, who can do it all. Koromoa is definitely my round two guy because he was picked in the back half of round two, which is, I know, shocking to most people. But there's a lot of guys like in the back half, yeah, of round two that you'd absolutely fall in love with, like Creed Humphrey, that the Chiefs picked at the 63rd overall pick. He's a guy who likes to toss people around. Boogie Basham from Wake Forest is a guy that the Buffalo Bills picked at pick 61, who I thought was underdrafted and fell a bit too far for my liking, that I think could easily be, you know, a guy in the Pro Bowl caliber level. But what are your thoughts, like guys who were selected at the 16th pick of round two or later?
Yeah, Bengals, Joseph Ose, Texas. I think he's going to be pretty decent defensive end for them. I think he's going to be all right. Out of all the defensive ends, he was one I had going a bit higher than that. But he's made some great plays at Texas. Anthony Schwartz, the Browns took Anthony Schwartz with the 91st overall pick. I think he's got some sneaky speed. He got some really, you know, just really good speed, and he made some big plays at Auburn. I think he's going to be okay. But to be honest, yeah, there's just so many. Javonte Williams, again, I'm going to come back to him. To me, my favorite running back in the draft, he went 35, so I'd pick him. But yeah, those linebackers as well, they were good picks later on. But yeah, those are the players I like, you know. I just go through it in my head. Amari Rodgers, Clemson, went to Green Bay. I think he's going to have a chance to play early. He's talk about Devontae Smith, about the other Devontae, and there's a little bit of a comparison I'd give there. I think Amari Rodgers is going to have a good season. If Aaron Rodgers comes back, a Rodgers to Rodgers connection there, I think that's a good shout. He was the 85th overall.
Oh, sure. And then, I mean, round three, there's tons of really good, interesting guys. Dyami Brown from North Carolina is definitely a guy that's worth looking into for the Washington football team at pick 82. And as far as, like, guys who I really enjoyed or I really thought were really good in round three, Wyatt Davis, the offensive guard for who the Minnesota Vikings picked at pick 86. Now, Wyatt Davis, I think, is suffering from like the same problems that Lions offensive guard Lions offensive guard Jonah Jackson, who was also an offensive guard for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Jackson came in, fourth round pick, lit everything up. that was just a major surprise. But I think his lack of versatility, like Jonah Jackson is a guard, is a guard, is a guard, is a guard. He's not going to play tackle. He's not going to play center. He's a guard. And I think the same thing is true about Wyatt Davis. Wyatt Davis is a good guard. He's a very good guard. He's got power in the run game. He's got moves in the pass game. I think that Wyatt Davis is a guard, but he's only a guard, and that's why he's a round three pick as opposed to a round one pick like Elijah Vera Tucker, who might have the opportunity to play offensive tackle. The one big guy in round three that I'm surprised neither one of us has mentioned, at least as far as this this exercise is concerned, is Elijah Molden, the cornerback from Washington, who we both think is a very good corner that was selected by the Tennessee Titans at pick number 100.
I mean, his father was a good one too, and he was actually my number two corner coming in. So, you know, in my head I still can't put him in that later round section. You know what I mean? It hasn't really sunk in yet that he didn't go earlier than I thought he would go. So, yeah, and Asante Samuel Jr. as well is another just three whose fathers played. Joe Horn's son as well. I thought those four were their fathers, the bloodline and stuff. I thought they were all going to go early. Two of them did, and then, you know, Mold and then dropped quite late. But yeah, I think the four of them are going to be fine. I think they play offense in the league now. That slot, that passing in the slot is pretty much as important now than it ever have been. And I think it's gonna give Elijah Moore that sort of opportunity to make a lot of plays and just show that he's got the skill set to be a starting corner in this league. There's so much talent, and for whatever reason, a lot of these players, they fall down the draft board for so many different reasons. But Elijah Moore went to the Jets. Another good pick.
Elijah Molden.
It's going to be okay, I think. Both of them.
So, in round four, my dream draft player is Rashard Weaver, who is another guy whose pad level gets him in trouble. But I think that's something that's really fixable at the next level. But if you watch this guy's hands is really what flashes to me. He's also got the frame to build a lot of muscle onto that frame. This guy went on to pick 30 in round four, pick 135 overall. In round four, I think that he is one of my favorite day three picks overall. And it everybody knows that I have a lot of love for Jalen Darden, who got picked in at pick 129, also in the fourth round. This speedy little quick twitch, highly elusive wide receiver that, because the University of North Texas was so bad, I mean bad by the standards of the FCS bad, that they spent a lot of time throwing wide receiver touch screens and things of that nature to Jalen Darden because he was the only one on the field that was worth anything. And he could juke four or five guys out of their pads before getting taken down. But personally, I like Rashard Weaver a little bit better than that. But Jalen Darden is a guy that I think is really interesting. Is there anybody else in round four that you thought was like really super awesome and would be a part of your dream draft scenario?
Yeah, I did mention Tyler Wallace. But I sort of got hang of the game. I know what we're doing now. But, so it was 1-3-1. So I like him. I think he's going to be all right. Just play if I can play, you know. Guys have just passed the eyeball test and got that game film. That you know, might go in shorts and not turn up to be as good as you think. Not, you know, so GMs just knock them off the board, like, just saying they're never going to do it. You know, it's an example, Jerry Rice and Bill Romanowski. So it doesn't work like that, you know. It's a different game. But those two for sure. And if I'm going to say, go out on a limb with somebody, how about a Tyler Shelvin, defensive tackle, LSU, big guy in the middle. Can play that run really well. Another part of Cincinnati's game that needs to improve. So he's in with the Bengals. So many.
Yeah, it's another guy I kind of want to take a bit of time to mention, even though he wouldn't be like eligible for this game or whatever. But what about Jabril Cox, the linebacker from LSU, who? Even though Micah Parsons went to the Dallas Cowboys, Jabril Cox also went to the Dallas Cowboys because the value was just so good there that they just decided that, hey, we're going to grab another linebacker in spite of spending a really high draft pick on one. And what really hurts is that the Detroit Lions took Derek Barnes two slots above Jabril Cox. I'm not sure why they decided to take Barnes over Cox. It's really interesting to me what their thought process would have been on that.
And let's be real, you know, like, you know, as well as I know, it's like you get picked there, you're going to have an opportunity to play special teams day one. And I think that's so much these days. You've got to be able to just plug in and play. And they're going to give Parsons that opportunity too. You know, nothing's guaranteed. You're going to have to earn their start on the side of that helmet, you know. I'm glad they brought in those two. I'm glad they brought in that type of mentality, because they definitely need some young bucks in there as well to go with what they've got. They've got to stop the run. They got the people there now, and you know, Rod Marinelli's back there. He's out there. He's in Auckland. They got a different mentality than they've had in the past. I think it's Mike McCarthy's there. Jerry Jones is there, I know. But we're going to have to see a different Dallas Cowboys team for them to change that. The family element there. You know, it's Dan Quinn who they brought in from Atlanta. I think he needed to come out of that situation in Atlanta and become a defensive coordinator again. And I think that's going to be huge for them. It's good to have him there. And, you know, George Edwards is there as an assistant. And now the rest of it, you know, Leon Lett. And he's there as an assistant offensive line coach. So they got the old crew back. And, Dallas. People are always going to want a coach in Dallas, and Dallas are always going to be competing. But on the field, they got to do it. We got to see it on the field, and getting Dak back is huge. It's going to be. It's always interesting to see what Dallas do. You know what it's like. Everybody, people either love them or hate them, right? And there's not many people that love them these days. So let's see what they do about it. Anderson.
Right. So we're down to the last 10 minutes. So we're going to speed round the last three rounds out of this. Round three, I'm going to give you one guy, Cornell Powell from Clemson, speedy little 6-foot wide receiver. I think he can easily play on the slot. He can catch balls in traffic, which is instrumental in being a slot wide receiver. He can block really well for his size. So I think that he has a lot of opportunity to be that, like, that number three guy in a very powerful, in a very powerful passing scheme. Who's your one guy in round five?
Just to bring it down to one.
It's
gonna be tough to say. Just go. So no idea. What about somebody? Guy Bright. See, he just went past out of round five. 107th pick. I know it's not quite there, but Michael Carter, North Carolina, backed up Javonte Williams. I think he's going to be good. How about Kenneth Gainwell then? Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis going to Philly. If he gets the chance to play, I think he's got some talent. You know, 115. So, yeah, I should have broke it down into rounds instead of numbers. No, that's
perfectly fine. I mean, and we're gonna just forget like the 16 or below for these last couple of rounds. I'm just gonna have you pick a guy in six and a guy in seven. For me, round six guy. This is where it gets into the nitty gritty kind of. One guy I really like is Daz Newsome, but I keep on hitting wide receivers, so I want to go with something else, some other position other than wide receiver, because wide receivers do have the depth this year. But Stone Forsythe would be my sixth-round guy. He's my latest starter in the NFL draft, so I think Stone Forsythe is kind of my sixth-round guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I did mention obviously Jimmy Morrissey and Trismith going late, but yeah, I don't know. I like the guy you picked a couple of rounds, but Rashad Weaver went at 135, the pick guy. He's a good player. I think Vrabel is going to know what to do with him in our system. I think that's a good matchup there. What about Demodro? Lenore out of Oregon. I think he's going to be a good corner. There's a little guy I've kept for on the show. He's probably be the last pick. But what about Jake Funk going to Iran? I think that was interesting. He's an interesting little player. You know, he's going to come in there, but it's going to be hard for him to get a sort of. So start this spot, but I think he's going to be able to do a lot in the passing game, and I think Stafford's going to like him as well. So, Jake Plum, LA Rams, pick 233, very late, but I think he's going to have a role up on offense.
And like my seventh round guy, I mean, I'm not really a big fan of any of these seventh round guys. I'm sure one of them is going to turn out to be all right. I just don't know which one it's going to be, but. My one undrafted free agent guy is Cade Johnson. I'll pound the table for Cade Johnson all day long. There's no reason, like I haven't seen any medical issues that came up for Cade Johnson to fall from what everybody was expecting to be like a third, fourth round pick to fall completely out of the draft. So I'm really interested to see what comes out about Cade Johnson. Over the last couple of the next couple of weeks as to what forced him down draft boards so far that teams wouldn't even put like a seventh round pick on the guy. Do you have any seventh or undrafted guys that you want to mention real quick?
Yeah, two middle linebackers I really love. I thought Dylan Moses from Alabama and Paddy Fisher at Northwestern. You know, there was reasons they fell out, but I think it's just position value, a lot of it. I think that both of them are going to be okay. I know Paddy Fisher's gone with the Carolina Panthers, and I think Moses has gone with the Jaguars. But I like them both as middle linebackers. I think they're both going to be good players. Because we saw with Mark Erzlich. I remember Mark Erzlich coming out. Mark Erzlich is Paddy Fisher. He's exactly the same. Just, you know, he's to college and very similar skill set. But yeah, he's gonna be like, I mean, just have might have a better career than is, but I, you know, much as I love him, he'll do it. Yeah, those two are my undrafted rookie free agents.
Okay, very good, very good, very good. So we're down to 1 minute left of the show, so we're gonna close up this this episode of the NFL Free For All for good. Next week we plan on taking a deeper look into each of these draft classes. I'm thinking NFC East and perhaps, if we have time, AFC East. But we also, at this next point, we're going to talk about off seasons as a whole. So we're going to talk about not only guys that were drafted necessarily, but also how those draft picks worked in context of their free agency selections as well, and their trades. Rodri, great show as always. Give us a final shout out before we close on the kitchen for tonight.
You've done great again. Great show. I really enjoyed it. I'm just going through and listening to your picks as well. It's really interesting. And yeah, taking notes as well as I'm going. So looking forward to broadening it a bit now, I think. Enough of trying to guess what, let's talk about the teams and get it on the quarter scale so that we can, you know, get into depth and hopefully just enjoy it more. Yeah, always a pleasure, bro, and take care.
All right. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs.